WAER Sports proudly presents the Ostrom Avenue Podcast.
Goalpost goes down for just the seventh time in program history. Syracuse football has secured a top 10 win in the Dome.
Freeman straight away elevates and slams. Ladies and gentlemen, Donnie Freeman is here in the 315.
And it's misery at the hands of Maryland. Syracuse with its closest shot at a championship in over a decade gets sent home.
Hearing from a host of guests.
Super excited to welcome back onto the podcast the voice of Syracuse men's lacrosse, Tim Leonard.
Now Jason Benetti, voice of the Detroit Tigers.
And providing all the hot takes.
If Syracuse beats Miami, there are no questions. This program is headed in the right direction. Fran Brown is the leader of the future.
These are guys that can make impacts on day one. You're going to see that presence. That just when Syracuse in the past, when you look at their offensive line and defensive line, they were undersized in committing penalties. Now, they might still commit penalties. Who knows? But at least you know they're not going to be undersized.
It's the Ostrom Avenue Podcast, and it starts right now.
Welcome in to the Ostrom Avenue Podcast. Another week, Syracuse men's lacrosse still alive. Syracuse women's lacrosse unfortunately bowed out in the second round of the NCAA tournament. Basketball rosters, still a couple spots up for grabs, but I'd say the majority of their starting lineup and depth pieces are done. Football spring practice is over. Now they're going through the summer stuff. And, you know, Fran Brown's mentioned that the transfer portal not having a second opening is good for them. So a busy time still here around the hill. Obviously, summer break now, graduation was this past weekend. So, you know, our senior friends are gone. I know Josh is now in North Carolina. I'm still in Syracuse, but Josh has made the drive for his summer plan, so how is the the week and a half since you've been gone from Syracuse? And
it's been busy. I mean, I've just been working my 9 to 5 at the warehouse, you know, getting some hours in, getting some money before coming down here. Got in here a couple hours ago, so it's a beautiful town. I mean, it's already like, Griff, it's like 85 degrees.
Cool.
Supposed to be 90s all next week, so I'm pretty excited for that, and obviously for the entire summer. But you know what I'm most excited for?
What
is Syracuse men's lacrosse tomorrow?
Ooh, okay, yeah, we're recording this Friday night, so we'll get posted probably most likely Saturday morning. But Syracuse big battle against North Carolina. Wow, it's like the 5th, 7th, 8th time we've said that this season.
Yeah.
the third matchup against North Carolina. You mentioned it was 85 degrees. I think it's supposed to be nice on Long Island tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Here in Syracuse, where I've been for the past what feels like years of my life, it's been kind of weird. Like, it hasn't been warm. Like, it's been like 50s and 60s, like, max for the past week. I just looked. We're supposed to get 91 on Monday.
In Syracuse,
which is
kind
of crazy.
Oh, wow.
That'll probably come with a big thunder lightning storm, but who knows? Check the weather. Hempstead, New York, 70 and sunny. No precipitation. So that's exactly the weather in the Dome. So maybe that will help Syracuse out.
Obviously, well, I mean, they lost both games in North Carolina. So you think, oh, they have the home state advantage this time.
Sure.
Even if it's not inside the Dome, like, they haven't lost a game inside New York this year, so it's got to be leaning in their favor, right?
Yeah, you would think that. Yeah, Syracuse not lost a game in New York. I guess they lost to Harvard. I was going to make they haven't lost a game. They also lost to Princeton. So they've lost only two games north of the Carolinas. Obviously, Syracuse bowed out in the ACC championship first round to North Carolina, who then got absolutely obliterated by Virginia.
That game in itself was a complete reversal. I mean, everyone was like, Wow, this Virginia team is legit. I mean, I don't know about you. I sat in front of my TV last week and I watched, with the exception of UNC Albany, which I was out to lunch for, and the Marist Princeton game, which I was just not really interested in watching. I think I watched every game from, if it wasn't from start to finish, it was for three of the four quarters. I mean, I have never been this locked in to college lacrosse. And it was just a great weekend. I don't know what, if you had the chance to watch it, but that Virginia game and the Duke Richmond game, two just phenomenal games. And I know our boy Lars has already bounced from the tournament. I mean, they just ran into a wall. I mean, we saw Anderson Moore in the dome earlier this year. That was just an unreal game, and it's kind of sad that Virginia's already out because that is our boy. But man.
Yeah, it crazy season for Lars and company. Like, Virginia was out of the tournament for months. It felt like they weren't even going to make it, and then they go on this end of season run, beating North Carolina and just beating Duke and just having
And
like
beating
this.
Notre Dame. I mean, they beat Notre Dame twice. I mean, if you look at Syracuse's schedule, Virginia had like three or four better wins than Syracuse did all season because they beat Notre Dame twice. They beat North Carolina. Like, it was
And they
just,
were a higher seed in the tournament.
which, and that was, I mean, after they beat Syracuse, I think, or after Syracuse had beat them, I think they were, 5-5 or 4-5 or something. It was like they're going to need a miracle to get in the tournament, and they did everything they needed to do. And then, of course, the madness that comes with that, they just get a little bit behind in that Georgetown game, and I mean, a couple saves there. The Millen brothers were kind of in jail for a while in that game, and it was just like, wow, this team's actually going to get bounced in the first round after what they just had an incredible 2-3 weeks of lacrosse that we all saw.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of talk about with this tournament. I did watch almost every game, I would say, of the first round. I did not watch the Notre Dame game. They took care of
Oh, that one either.
Jacksonville.
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
Shout out John Galloway for winning their play-in game, but could not get business done against Notre Dame. The Princeton Marist game, funny enough, I had it on the TV while I think I was sitting on the couch just like doing other stuff. It was a fun game to watch just because like Princeton's a very fun team.
I
And
watched like
Marist
the first quarter and then it was like,
couldn't really get anything going.
yeah.
I told some of my friends, I was like, sneakily, I think UAlbany could like put up a fight. And
I thought so too. I thought the same thing.
it was happening during Newhouse commencement.
Okay.
So I had it on my phone because like what else
Yeah,
is there to do when you're sitting in the bleachers of Newhouse commencement? And
yeah.
I turned it on, and it was already like 12-3 or something, and it was bad. The Penn State Army game was good at times.
That was a great game.
The Cornell Hopkins game I watched in its
Incredible.
entirety. It was
Priest
very, very
violation
good.
that didn't get called at the end of it, but.
Yeah. So like you have an interesting set where now we'll touch on the Syracuse Yale game, but let's while we're on the bracket, might as well keep going.
Let's just
The
keep it
George,
brief.
George Georgetown. I mean, they're a first round team. They haven't made it to championship weekend, but they're always good for at least one win in the tournament, and they just like Virginia just didn't seem like it had any like thing going offensively,
This is all about tech, bro.
as something starts playing on my speaker. But the Millen brothers were held to one goal apiece. Ryan Colsey had two goal. Their team just didn't play like they were the previous month, and it's
Well,
like
and that game
okay,
was
like.
just so sloppy. Like, there was so many. I think Georgetown had like six failed clears. Like, it was on both sides. It was just like, this game is madness. Like, there's no system going on. It was kind of a crazy game to watch. I mean, you obviously knew towards the end of the game that it was kind of running out of time for Virginia, but there was a while where, like, even if you were a Georgetown fan watching that game, I could totally see you being so frustrated.
Yeah, and people say that Syracuse plays sloppy, and then you look at all these other teams. It's like, oh, like they play a lot; they get a lot more turnovers, and then Syracuse usually does. Duke, that Duke Richmond game was really exciting to watch.
Oh.
Richmond had the most fans ever for a first round game; over 6,000 packed their seats, and it was electric.
He had
Shout
the
out to
70-yard full field heave to Aiden O'Neal with 5 seconds left in the third quarter. I mean, that was awesome.
Yeah, I thought, Aiden McGuire, not Aiden McGuire, not Aiden McGuire.
Aiden McGuire.
Whatever. McGuire, the short,
Hey, McGuire. Hey, McGuire.
yeah,
First
in
overall
McGuire.
player.
I
Yes,
am
Hey,
right.
McGuire.
Yeah,
I
don't
didn't.
discredit me.
Oh,
No, I know. I was doubting myself for a second. With all these names going on. When he scored two goals late in that game. I was like, why are you giving Richmond a chance? Like, you could have just ran the ball around and there was like a minute 30 and the shot clock had was
Yep.
full. And there would have been like a 10-second difference if they just ran it out. And he shot the ball. And I was like, oh, like
Yeah.
if
Well, I
Richmond
thought
wins
Duke was
this.
toast. I mean, they were down three goals with 6 minutes left, and they scored, but it got called back for a crease violation, and they were still down three goals. And it was like, yeah, they're really running out of time. And then they go on a 5-goal run and win the game. Like Richmond just like completely forgot how to. Well, they didn't win a faceoff for most of the game.
That was
Cal
crazy.
Girard was just giving it to him the entire game. So I thought it was impressive that Richmond was holding a 3-goal lead. They were losing like 75% of faceoffs, and I think they had like a 14 or 15 stretch of faceoffs where they didn't win a single one. Like they won one early in the first quarter, didn't win one until the second half.
Yeah. I mean, the last game we need to touch on from that first round, obviously, the one that probably most of you listeners are wanting to hear about, the Syracuse Yale game, which,
Diesel.
I mean, if you've ever watched a Syracuse sporting event in any capacity, this game pretty much summed it up. Syracuse started off well with a John Mullen face-off win and then a goal 6 seconds later. So you're like, all right, well, I think I literally said it after that goal. I was like, Syracuse is going to win this game by 15. Now, 15 was a little bit of a stretch, but I was like, all right, Syracuse is going to win this handily. If John Mullen's winning 60% that the faceoff X, Syracuse is going to shoot the ball well. McCool's going to play well. And then Wyatt Hoddle scored, and I was like, okay, if Wyatt Hoddle is going to score 3 goals, Syracuse is surely going to win by like 10. And then Yale went on a little bit of a stretch. We're like, all right, well, this is going to be a bit of a fight. The first half was just sloppy. Syracuse trailed 8-6 at the end of the first half. And you thought, is this going to be another Harvard game where you're going to need overtime? And oh boy, like, is Syracuse really going to do this? And it's like, all right, like, I was a little nervous. I thought Syracuse was going to flame out.
I completely did too. At halftime I was like, this is normal. Like they've been down before. They just need a little bit of momentum, and they get that 3-goal run right out of halftime, and you're like, all right, like we're fine now. But then like Yale just continues to hang around, and when you're up four with like I think it was like 5 minutes left in the game, and like you're just waiting for Yale to kind of pull its goalie a little bit and just kind of really have to force turnovers. And like they couldn't get the kill shot. Like they just, it came down to the last possession. Like the fact that Yale had two chances to get one past McCool to tie the game and send it to overtime, it should never have happened. I don't know how you can win 70% of faceoffs, have that good of a goalie performance, and still only win by one goal.
Yeah, it
Because they
was.
haven't had a combination of that strength between Mullen and McCool all season, and it only was a one goal win.
I think a lot of it came down to, I guess, Finn Thompson hit the post 3 times in the first half, so you
Yeah.
should have had 3 more goals there, which would have given you more momentum. McCool was not good in the first half.
No, but he was unreal in the second half. I
Yes,
mean, my
he was.
goodness.
Yeah, he was definitely a star. He had 12 saves in the second half. Syracuse got a little lucky that Yale's goalie did not play particularly well at
Yeah.
all. I think Syracuse hit the post more times
Yeah, Ben Freeman, I think he was like
than he had saved. He had 6 saves.
30% or 28%. He
Yeah,
was.
I think it was below 30,
Yeah.
and McCool went above 50, which, I mean, the fact that Yale scored 15 goals was kind of crazy because Jimmy had a good day, especially in that second half. The first half, was shaky at times, but like the offense for Syracuse, it looked good. At times, everyone was getting involved. Peyton Anderson had 3 assists and a goal. Tucker Kellogg even got a goal. I mean, when you're getting a John Mullen goal, that's well. Finn Thompson, despite hitting the
Tyler
post,
McCarthy scored a goal.
yeah, and he got injured. So that was impressive. He got hit hard.
You did take a spell.
Finn Thompson hit the post like 8 times and still had 3 goals. Joey had a 2-2 day. Hoddle had two goals. Like, Syracuse is, I think, undefeated. I think that was the stat when Hoddle scores more than once in a
Oh,
game.
okay.
Roa and Leo, like, I don't think I remember a game this season where Roa, Leo, Thompson, and Spallina each had two or more goals. And each had, like, at least 4 points. So that was exciting.
It's just crazy that all of this happened in the same game and
Yeah.
they only won by one. Like
Exactly.
you read down the list here. How does Leo and Thompson have hat tricks and Hoddle and Rowe and Spallina all put two in and Mullen win, 70% of faceoffs and McCool saved 17 shots and you still win by one goal? And you were worried for a good portion of the second and third quarter that this was going to be a possible loss or, like an over, it was going to be an overtime game. It was going to be a game where you literally had to score last to win.
So the question is, are you a little worried about the defense? A
Well,
defense that has been very good for Syracuse this season. I don't think, I mean, Billy Dwan has had his ups and downs this season. Riley Figueres was named second team All-American by Inside the Cross and is one of the most underrated long poles in the country. Still. And did Jordan Beck get beat on a couple times when the
yeah.
short stick's not doing great. Chuck Kaczynski and Bolonino in the long
Yeah.
stick middies, do they have, like,
I
the
wasn't
question
impressed
is,
with the long sticks. I didn't think they played a great game.
yeah, I mean, so that's the thing. And it's hard to tell, if it's Yale's offense or Syracuse's defense. That's always going to be kind of a tough thing to do in
It better
depict.
be the defense because if Yale's offense
Well,
is the
I
reason that they
think.
struggled, then they're in for a big treat when they get to play UNC for a third time. Because yeah, Yale and UNC, I mean, this is not really that close of a battle offensively. I mean, UNC is going to have a lot less trouble scoring on this Syracuse defense.
Yeah, it's true. I think Syracuse can turn around defensively. Obviously, you're seeing this Virginia or this UNC team for a third straight time. Obviously, Syracuse beat Yale 16-15. That was Sunday. They have, I guess, 5 days of practice and maybe a travel day.
They're already there.
They left on, I think, Wednesday
Yeah.
afternoon or Thursday
Yeah.
morning. To go to Hofstra, the same field that you beat Princeton on in the quarterfinals last year, the same time Joey had an unbelievable 4-4 performance. And you're playing North Carolina for the third straight time. Obviously, you know how it went in the regular season. You lost. You didn't play well at all. 14-9 at Chapel Field, at
But I'll
Chapel
say
Hill.
this. I thought the second game was way more
Yeah,
disappointing of a loss. Even if it was a
I
two goal
agree.
loss where you went to a zone defense in the final 2 minutes to try and get a stop, I thought that was absolutely a worse performance than the first time around.
I agree. Syracuse only lost 12-10. That was obviously a neutral site, albeit in North Carolina, only like an hour from Chapel Hill. But you meet for the third time, and this UNC team, albeit they're still very talented, is a little bit different than when you face them for the first two times. Obviously, the big question
Oh,
is Owen Duffy gonna play?
is he gonna play? I don't
And
know. If you're listening to your boy Quint Kessenich,
Kessler.
he doesn't think so. He thinks there might be a little bit of hamstring damage to the kid.
Yeah, obviously Owen Duffy got injured in that ACC championship game against Syracuse, did not play in UNC's big win over New Albany, which Dom Petromala scored 10 goals in, so they didn't really
They did
need
not need
Owen
him,
Duffy.
Griffin.
Dom Petromala, that was a NCAA tournament single game record, 10 goals. So
Quietly, like
hopefully.
on the first game of the slate on a noon game on the first Saturday, everyone's just kind of waking up and turning their TV on, and Dom Petromala has 7 goals at halftime. We're like, what is going on?
Yeah, I mean, people made the argument, would Syracuse rather have Owen Duffy play if he's not going to be 100%, if he is
Fair.
going to be taking the ball. The ball kind of sticks in Owen Duffy's hands. Obviously, Petromala is the best shooter in the game. People compare him to Curry. If he's shooting well and he's going to be lights out, and it's going to be hard to stop him. Duffy's more of the dodger, the facilitator, the guy that likes to have the ball on his stick. So Obviously, you don't want a guy of his skill on the field,
Yeah.
but if he's not 100%, then
I mean,
maybe you want him out there.
There's certainly, you know, there's positives both ways, but I mean, I think I look at the fact that Petromala absolutely torched them in the first game, and in the second game they adjusted, right? He didn't score in the first half. I don't even think he had a shot in the first half. He scored one goal in that game, and you were kind of able to neutralize him. So if there's no Duffy, then you can really hone in on Petromala, and obviously, I mean, UNC showed they have a variety of scores because Duffy and Petromala only had two of those 12 goals in that game. I mean, we saw, you know, Brevin Wilson get involved. Harshberger had one. And I think maybe it was in the first game. Swiatek had a couple goals as well. So there's definitely a good amount of talent on that offense. So, you know, it's going to be, I think, easier if Duffy doesn't play. But I mean, you still got a very talented offensive team you're looking at here. I mean, an offense that has gotten the better of you both times. So,
yeah. And then the other thing, I guess there's two more big topics. Obviously, the face-off battle. Mullen had probably his best game of the season against Yale, winning 63%. Obviously, Brady Wambach, he is the best Fogo in the country. It's not particularly close, although Syracuse and John Mullen went 50% against Wambach right around there in the ACC championship. I think if that battle's around 50%, that would be a good thing for Syracuse. Obviously, if you win
I think
that
he's
would be
capable. He can win. I
spectacular.
Mean, he showed it when they played in Charlotte. He was beating them up in the first half.
Yeah.
And he kind of reverts back, or Brady Wambach, you know, takes, you know, the halftime to kind of get right again, and he just torches him in the second half. I mean, that's gonna happen. I mean, we're talking about the best Fogo in the nation, so it's gonna be definitely key. We've said it all along. It's McCool and Mullen that are the two most important, you know, players to this team. If Mullen's on, if McCool's on, obviously Syracuse is gonna be tough to beat. So yeah, I think you look at if Mullen can get above 50. I mean, we said it the first time they played him, I was looking at 40 to 45 as a key number. I think if he does that, they got a pretty good shot to win.
Yeah, 40 to 45 would be kind of, I would say, a little bit concerning, but obviously, you know, it's just going to be a best. Can Syracuse get stops and capitalize
And he
if
needs
the
to stay
faceoff
on the
battle?
field. He needs to stay
Yeah,
on the
that is
field.
true.
He
Yeah,
needs to not
no
have four
violations.
faceoff violations.
Those have been killer this season. And then I would say the third biggest thing to note for this game is, one, who's going to be North Carolina's starting goalie? Josh Margus played very well against Syracuse in the regular season and in the ACC championship. But the rest of the latter half of that season, and especially in the ACC championship final game against Virginia, he did not play well. And then you have Kent Goody, who is a senior, made his first career start in the NCAA first round.
I didn't even see this.
And so if you trot out a guy that, and he only played a half because, or he only
Played
played
three
three
quarters.
quarters because UNC was that dominant.
Huh.
But do
Whoa.
you go to the freshman that played really well against Syracuse but struggled against everyone else and only played like half of that fourth quarter? Or do you go to the senior that, you know, got you to the second round?
Wow, I didn't even realize that. That's a big decision.
Yeah,
And
and it's something that
Marcus has seen it well against Syracuse, so.
True. But but my thing is, you can't put a freshman back in after you pulled him, like
Yeah.
after you didn't start him in the first round. And so that is the scary part. And I guess the big decision that Coach Bresci and Petromala will have to decide is who do you go to? Because that very well might decide the game. Is who does North Carolina put in net? And you know, if it goes well for North Carolina and they win, then it'll be the right decision. If they don't, then clearly they will get some flack for that. I think, you know, at the end of the day, Syracuse will play well. I think being on Long Island will help. Somewhere that Syracuse is familiar with, a lot of its best players, you know, grew up on there. Looking at Michael Leo and Joey Spolina, obviously. among some others. But this will be a game that's, you know, won in the trenches, won the goalie battle. It'll be an interesting one. Obviously, if we just look at the larger bracket in whole, the winner of Syracuse and North Carolina would then play the winner of Notre Dame and Hopkins, which
Wouldn't that be something?
I would say would be Notre Dame
Wouldn't
pretty
that be something
concretely.
if Hopkins
If
could sneak the win there?
a Hopkins Syracuse Final Four matchup would be electric and something that lacrosse fans would be drooling over. I don't think that's very likely. I think Notre Dame might be the best team in the country, which is just so awful to say.
Well, and
Like it
we
means
said
nothing.
it towards the start of the tournament, like if like they're 0-3 against the top three. They lost to Notre Dame, or 0-4. They lost to Notre Dame, they lost to Princeton, and they lost twice to UNC. In order to win the national championship, they're going to have to sweep those three teams, more than likely. They're going to have to beat UNC, then they'll have to beat Notre Dame, and then they'll have to beat Princeton.
I wouldn't be so sure about that Princeton team. I'm
Oh.
very interested to
You
see.
think that you think they struggle with Penn State a little bit?
Yes, I think.
I've been a fan. I think Penn State is very solid. I can't pick against that
See, like
Princeton team.
I don't think Penn State is solid.
Oh,
They
you
have
don't?
awful losses, but they play well
They
against big
beat them
teams.
earlier in the year by like 6 goals, like 13-7. It was
Yeah,
the first game of the season. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I agree. They play very well against good teams, and then like they have just some bad loss. Like they lost to Navy.
Yeah. Oh.
Like they lost to Michigan. And but they have really, really good wins. They beat Maryland twice. I don't care
Well,
that Maryland's not in the tournament. They're still a very, very good team.
and
And
that's the thing, like the ACC is just so strong, like every
like
year.
they blew out Cornell. They beat them by
Yeah.
12. They beat Yale by 10, who Syracuse just took to the brink. Like
Like I
they
think
lost to
it's
Villanova.
different. I
They're just
feel
a
like it's
very
different.
weird
If
team.
Penn State loses to a conference opponent that's not very good, like it's seen differently. If you lose to an ACC team, it's like, oh, it's the ACC. Like you could lose to Duke, that's a respectable loss. You could lose to UVA, that's a respectable loss. Like you could lose to anyone. But if you lose to like Rutgers or Michigan in the Big Ten, like it's a little different, you know?
That's just the funny thing about Penn State is they can beat anyone and they could be humiliated by anyone. I
Yeah.
think that'll be an interesting game. That is Sunday at noon, so we'll obviously know Syracuse advanced by then. And then the last quarterfinals matchup, Georgetown Duke, the two unseeded teams in that region.
We're gonna have an unseeded team in the Final Four.
Yeah, and it's not too shocking, I would say.
No, not at
That
all.
game could go either way. I would expect Duke to win. Georgetown making its Final Four for the first time would be very, very interesting. Since 1999, they haven't made it, and that's their only appearance. When former Hobart men's lacrosse head coach Dave Urich, who recently passed a couple of years ago, got Georgetown to the Final Four. So it would be interesting, you know. That's a good Georgetown team. It's obviously the Connor brothers. They got the best of the Millen brothers. Can they get the best of John Donowski? Who knows? I think either team will lose. Well, that's the thing. Like, could Penn State make it back to championship week? The whole that
Again,
region is full of uncertainty, I
that's
think.
crazy.
I
I just think it's also great. Like you see these characters, like kind of, and you kind of root for them a little bit. Like obviously, yeah, Syracuse is the team, right? But I mean, we got to talk to Lars. We got to talk to John Donowski, who's now, you know, vying for a spot. And I was at Kevin Warren's press conference. Like the lacrosse coaches are just the best people to root for. Like once you get to like know them or you get to hear them talk and you know, you get to ask them a couple questions like that. You just want to root for them. I want everyone to make the Final Four. Like these guys are great.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of guys with Syracuse ties and upstate New
Yeah.
York ties. Obviously, Jeff Tamburoni, the Penn State coach, went to West Genesee High School just down the road, and so Tamburoni, who was the not Tamburoni, Shamadi, well, who was the Richmond head coach, also went to West Genesee High School. So there's just so many, you know, Syracuse and Central New York ties that. It's hard to not root for some of these people, and then they end up playing against one another. Let's go just quick speed run. Who are the four teams that you have in the Final Four?
All right, well, I'm going to stick with what I had from the start, and that would be Notre Dame against Syracuse. I think Syracuse is going to get it done because they're playing a team for the third time, and I do think that this time
Surely
is different.
They can't lose.
I think with the goalie situation that you introduced now, it makes me a little uneasy for UNC. I wouldn't be so confident. And I think you look at John Mullen's game last week, and you have to be feeling pretty good about what he's doing right now. I mean, he looked pretty unbeatable for most of that game. So you put that into consideration, and then the fact that maybe Owen Duffy sits out. I mean, I think you have – and it's in the home state. It feels too good not to take Syracuse in this game. So, yeah, I think they'll get a two-goal win here. I'll go 11-9. I think it's time. Like, it's now or never. We've talked about how this team has to do it this year, and I think they're going to at least get to championship weekend first. They can worry about Notre Dame next week, so I think they'll beat UNC. And then on the bottom half of the bracket, I got to go with Duke. I think it was – obviously, I don't think they had the worst case to get in, but obviously I think there were people that were like, this team didn't play a good team all year or until the later part of the year, and when they did, they crumbled. But they got that big win against UNC. And I think it wasn't that Duke wasn't deserving. It was that no one went and, like, took that spot from them, what got them in my eyes. And I think they're a top-four team in the country, so I'll take Duke. I think they're a phenomenal team. And then to wrap it all off, I'll take Princeton. I think Princeton is a more talented team than Penn State, and I think they'll probably get it done.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the coffin right there. I disagree with you though, but
oh, yeah.
I get what you're saying. It'll be interesting. I think Duke can definitely win that game. I'm a little nervous about Duke and just how, like, inconsistent they've been. I really agree with your take that just it was someone's spot to take, and, like, Duke was just giving it to somebody, and then no one ended up taking
like
it.
I was looking at, like, Maryland or
Anybody.
Harvard. Like, Harvard lost in the first round. Maryland gets bounced. They get,
Harvard
like,
wins one game and I think they would have been in.
Yeah. And they didn't. And same thing with Maryland. Like, I think they won. They might have had a plan. I think they had a plan. And then they just lost to Hopkins, and it was like, well, their season's over. Like, they're not making it. They're done.
Yep. I'm gonna go to Georgetown though. I
Oh.
think Georgetown's gonna win. I think Penn State's gonna win. I just have some
Wow,
sick
double upset
feeling.
in that part of the bracket.
Yeah, I wouldn't call Georgetown Duke. I would say
No,
that's
no. I mean, you
I
got
would
two
say that's a
undefeated
pick'em.
teams.
I would
That's
say that's a
pretty
pick'em.
even game there.
I just have some weird feeling about Penn State and Princeton not doing as well as I thought they should have. Or I was never really too high on this Princeton team. I just didn't think they had a lot of top end talent. I know Nate Kebear is really good. Ryan Craddock's a really good goalie, but outside of them, I
Lobo,
wasn't.
dude. He's a beast.
Yes, but I don't like the rest of the team, and I know they've proven me wrong, and I just want to die on this hill, and I think I have to.
That's fine. I do like
I
that
am gonna
Georgetown
go
team.
to
Now that
I
you
am
say
gonna,
Georgetown, though, like, dude, Ty Banks was tearing it up last week.
yeah, dude, Liam and Rory, if they're on, they're on.
Yeah.
I think they're just a fun team.
They're a fun team. Oh, these are all fun teams.
I'm gonna go Notre Dame. I think that game will be probably the biggest margin of victory,
Yeah.
the largest margin of victory.
Yeah.
Hopkins played his really weird lacrosse against Cornell, and Cornell couldn't handle the pressure. And then I do think Syracuse will get it done.
Yes.
I think the juju is on their side, and something that I often rely on is the juju, if you know what I mean. Again, that game tomorrow, I guess today, if you're listening on Saturday, 2:30 face off, 2 o'clock McClurg remodeling countdown to face off, double overtime up until 6:30. I'll be on that
Oh.
alongside Jake Klein. Should be a fun dot, either, recapping Syracuse's season or
Previewing its Final Four game against the winner of Notre Dame and Johns Hopkins. One of the
exactly
two.
one and two. So that'll be a fun one. Hopefully, I guess for our sake, Syracuse plays another game, gets to watch some more lacrosse with some more meaning behind it. Although watching the games without, I guess, some interest or stake would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
as well. Just enjoy the good quality lacrosse, which we can get, which we will get plenty of this weekend. Off to the women's side, things were looking great for the Syracuse team. A comfortable win, kind of semi-comfortable win over Loyola on Friday. A game that you probably should have won by more. I guess this is a week ago today, a week ago Friday. And then Navy, you play on Sunday. Syracuse up almost by
Was
like we're up
10-4.
by seven,
10-4.
six. And I turned off the TV. I was like, okay, Syracuse
Reggie. Huh.
win.
Reggie's in the quarterfinals. Great job,
Reggie,
Reggie.
yeah, Reggie, quarterfinals. You're gonna play
Oh, dude.
Maryland, a team that I think you could beat. And then I don't
Chris, what
know.
happened?
They hit the snooze button.
Oh.
I think I took a nap. I turned my
Oh,
phone
I think
on
we were all
silent.
sleeping. Yeah.
Well,
Game
I
was
woke
over.
up. Game was over. And what do you mean? It was an overtime 11-10 loss. Syracuse scored one goal in the second half. Navy scored seven. Nope, eight. Eight goals, 8-1. I guess if you count overtime.
On overtime, yeah.
So that is how Syracuse women's lacrosse ends its first season under head coach Reggie Thorpe. Not the way that everyone thought it would end. I guess some people thought they would lose to Navy, but not in that fashion. I was left kind of speechless. I still feel like I'm a little speechless. I guess the question is now, would you call this a successful season?
I would still say it was a successful season. I think the expectation at the start of the year was we don't know what this team is going to be. We got a new head coach. We're just going to see what happens. And I think the fact that this team rattled off 13 straight wins, was ranked third in the country at one point, it exceeded expectations for me. They won a playoff game, albeit it was against Loyola, a team that they already beat handily earlier in the season. And they should have won a second game. I think it'll leave a sour taste in Reggie Thorpe's mouth. And I think it'll leave a sour taste in most of the team's mouths. I mean, you can't really start a game any better. You can't really ask for anything else, especially on the road. It's almost to a point where you can hit cruise control and you can just possess the ball, get decent looks, and just run the clock out. I mean, when you're up six goals, all you have to do is kind of
Score
control the game.
twice.
You really just need to shorten. You just need to shorten everything up a little bit. You don't need to be too aggressive. You can just kind of wind the clock down and kind of play that game. You know, get a couple of shots here and there. It's really unfortunate because I'm sure the team is just like in disbelief. Like they can't believe that they just lost a game that they were up 10-4 in the second half, and it was like late third quarter too. It wasn't even like it was right out of the gate. Navy punched him in the mouth and scored four goals in the first 5 minutes. No, like they were controlling the third quarter and it just all fell apart. So yeah, it definitely leaves a sour taste in your mouth, but I think you gotta keep tip your cap. I mean, Reggie Thorpe comes in, assembles, you know, the gauntlet of schedules, of all gauntlets, and puts himself up against the three best teams in the country at the start of the season. Gets kicked in the mouth. They go 0-3 to start the year and they rally all the way back. I mean, there wasn't expectations for me for this team this year. I think they absolutely exceeded them. And like I said at the start of the year, this is a younger group. I mean, you're gonna have most of your team back next year. I think there's some serious momentum behind this team. If they can kind of figure out some of the offensive stuff, obviously, you know, the defense was the bread and butter all year long. If they can, you know, get another scorer added to this offense, or, you know, just kind of work on the offense a little bit. I mean, this team's gonna be scary. They're gonna be a top three team in the ACC next year, regardless if that happens or not. It's just really gonna be, can they continue off that, or was this just, you know, kind of one outstanding year? You'd like to think that they can continue to build it.
Yeah, I agree. I think Syracuse was put in a difficult position. I think, Reggie had a little bit of time to find out some people. Obviously, there's no expectations, I think, from us whether they would do a good job. And Alyssa Chung just took any hopes of and dreams of Syracuse getting back to the Final Four and ripped them apart. I think if Chloe Humphrey was not a person and did not exist, she would have a very strong case at winning the Tourettan for Navy. Very, very good player watching her play last week. I would say this season would be a success. I think you had a lot of good highs, especially after losing the first three games all at home. Okay, or I guess not Stanford game was at home, but losing those first three games and what were those expectations? Can Syracuse now just make the tournament? And then that the turnaround, obviously. I want to die on this hill. Syracuse should have hosted.
Yes, I agree. 100% agree.
I think Syracuse was hosed. I think they got dealt a bad end of the stick because the NCAA has this policy of not wanting to pay for travel.
Yeah.
If you're over 300 miles away from your opponent in the first and second round, the NCAA covers the travel and pays for it. So they avoid at all costs not having to do that. And by way of that, you saw teams that should not have been hosting and should not have been seeded over Syracuse host. And in the end, it impacted Syracuse. And I think Syracuse would have favored heavily from a dome game or two.
Absolutely.
And so I guess that's the part I'm dying on, the hill I'm dying on. I think it'll be interesting to see how Syracuse can bounce back. Daniela Guyette will, unless she enters the transfer portal, she's a senior, but she has her redshirt year eligibility. So she'll be back. Obviously, Molly Guzik will be back. You're losing Coco Vandiver, Mackenzie Salentra, and Emma Mushnick.
Yeah,
But
but
besides that,
you get Guzik, you
your attack's back. Hopefully,
get
Ashley
Trinkus.
Volpe will be able to participate a little more in that. Hopefully, you can grab some players from the transfer portal. I see that's been going on recently on both the men's and women's side. Syracuse backup goalie Allie Hamlin has entered the portal, and former top recruit under coach trainer Lexi Reber has entered the portal. Two players that didn't play much for Coach Thorpe. So that'll be interesting. See if Syracuse can add some big additions. Obviously, you had some big ones this year that helped Syracuse a lot. Interesting to note how Syracuse will do on the men's side in the portal as well. We'll have updates in the next couple weeks while Syracuse is still playing, obviously. But I would say a promising year one. Obviously, there's some things that you wish improved. Obviously, Syracuse needs to find some sort of offensive something. Prowess, I guess, is a decent word. I would say if you can find something short of prowess and still improve on what you're trying to do. Syracuse has the pieces, obviously. I mean, we've talked about it, but if somehow they can get Alexis Bleena, all the troubles would fall away.
That
Someone that was formerly
happened.
recruited to Syracuse and committed, and then events happen, she decommits, goes to Clemson, where I don't think I could be proven wrong, but I don't think you'll ever win at Clemson in the next 5 years. Maybe down the line when they have the infrastructure, can they build something real? Who knows? But if Alexis Bleena wants to win and compete for championships, it might be wise to come to Syracuse. Points are fun and points are everything, and she can get those at Clemson or Syracuse. But if you want to win, I would say come play for Coach Thorpe. And I guess the culture that Coach Thorpe is building is something that's been lacking from that women's lacrosse team, and it's good to see be back after some down years. Let's talk some hoops. We're coming up on a long episode, but obviously transfer portal for men's hoops is closed. Still some names obviously out there that Syracuse can pick up, and some maybe international guys that Syracuse will pick up in the future. And to round out this roster that is not completely done, as we've heard Coach McNamara say that they're going to add some new names and get some guys in there. But for the most part, I guess the starting five, the first couple bench pieces are done. No power conference additions from the portal. Something that Syracuse had, I guess, plenty of last year, and look how it turned out. Obviously, they didn't have that many the year before. Look how that turned out. So I guess it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. Garway Duwal from McNeese State, Aiden Tobiasen from Temple, Luke Wilson from somewhere in Florida, right? Somewhere in the South. Your
Why
center.
am I blanking?
App State, never mind.
Thank you.
App State, so I guess
I don't
that's
know
kind
why
of,
I couldn't think of it.
it's in the Carolinas,
Yeah, North
one of
Carolina.
those. And then you got some international guys to come, and then you have all the Siena guys as well to combine with Sadiq White, Kyan Anthony. So it'll be an interesting squad. I think I can see the lens that this group is trying to push together. Doty and Tobiasen, I imagine, are going to be your best players and scorers.
Yep.
I like Garway Duwal. I think he's just going to naturally draw the Jaquan Carlos comparison because these two very good hypothetically defensive guys from mid-major schools, I think they're very different. The metrics and the analytics seem to love Garway Duwal. So that is interesting. He has Power Five experience, was initially recruited, committed to Providence, played there, didn't get too much minutes, and then it transferred at least once, and then played at McNeese State last season. Luke Wilson, the guy that won Defensive Player of the Year in the Sun Belt. And then Tobiasen, who drew some hype, tried out at the G League Combine, knocked down a lot of threes, played pretty well down there. Getting some feedback from some NBA and G League scouts and executives, which is, I say, always a plus
Yeah.
when someone can get that atmosphere and observation. I guess, what are your takeaways, main takeaways from this first, I guess, wave or this first period of the
It's a
transfer portal?
little, I'm gonna be honest. I think it's a little disappointing. I think
Sure.
when you see the fact that even if Syracuse is mentioned among 20 other schools, not in cont or in contention, visiting, just anything that links Syracuse to a Power Five player, you get excited about because there's a legitimate chance that you're getting a Power Four talent. Nothing happened. Like, they didn't land a single player.
Yeah.
This team could, and I've said it, and I think you've said it, and we've all said it. This team could win the MAC, right? This year is going to be a struggle.
I don't think I've said that.
Okay, then maybe I said it. This team
I
could win
think you
the MAC.
have.
They could win the MAACC. They could win.
I don't think it'd be close to.
No, they could win the MAC. Realistically, put this team up against every ACC team, and they're a 9, a 10, 11, 12, 13 seed because it's just not there yet. There's no proven Power Five talent that would make you say, this is going to be the year that they break the drought. Because I don't think it is. I think maybe next
Expanded
year.
tournament and all.
They expand. I heard that Brian
That
Blair got on the phone and
would.
said, hey guys, we're shaping up to be a top 76 team. Would you mind expanding it a couple teams to give us a chance? I think if we're on the top 76, that'd be great. I don't think we're there yet. I don't think Syracuse is at that point. And obviously, you can't really make too much of a prediction before we even see this team play together. But I'll just say this. I think they have a good ways to go for you to feel good about that. And I think they'll have some chances. I've seen they added the St. John's game at MSG. They've got the Indiana game at Assembly Hall at the start of the year. So there's going to be some early tests for this team in the non-conference slate. That's going to be a good measuring stick. Now, I don't think this team is competitive enough to win those games yet, but I mean, I'm all aboard the GMAC train now. I think you give him a couple of years, and I think he can absolutely turn this program around. But right now, I mean, Aiden Tobiasen and Gavin Doty, they're great players. They're good players, but it's just not enough yet. I think you're going to be a little bit disappointed if you have such a high expectation for these players in year one, because I just don't think it's there yet.
I disagree a little bit. I do think when I look at this roster and the construction of it, I have a couple of questions.
Like the center.
I think Luke Wilson will be fine. I do think it'll be interesting to see. My main question is, can Syracuse actually like strike and hit with any of these international guys? We have Triple M. We got the center,
CB.
and yeah, see, like, are they going to be Luke Fennells and Peter Maestorovic's, or are they going to be Marek
I mean,
Dolezal's?
if Mark Morano-Mamutovic shot 48 or 49% overseas, he better at least play 20 minutes a game. Because if he has a 1 in 2 chance to make a 3-point shot, why would he be on the bench for more than half the game? I mean, that
Two
guy better play a lot.
2 and 5 chance. 1 and 2 is 50%. Come on.
Yeah, he made 49% of
Oh,
threes
49%. I thought you
in
said
the
40.
Adriatic League.
That's the thing. I can't take any of these international
I
guys
just said
seriously.
that. Don't get too high on this team. But I
No.
will say, if he's knocking down shots, he should be on the floor. I mean, come on.
Tasman Goodrick is someone that I think might have a little promise as a backup center. I think
Too early
it'll
to pick
be.
our guys, right?
Yes, too early, too early,
Just be
too early.
throwing darts right now.
I mean, who knows? I have no idea. I hope, one of these international guys can play and just surprisingly become Syracuse's next great international player. Will it happen? Who knows? No idea. I am excited to see this team play. I think they will be more exciting to watch than last year's team, which I still think had the talent to make the NCAA tournament. And I again am disappointed it did not happen. But they, I mean, you said it. Brian Blair literally called Charlie Baker up and was like, "Hey, ring, ring, ring. NCAA tournament, we're expanding that. Yep, I hired GMAC. We better expand that."
We saw how good GMAC did last year, and Charlie Baker's
It
like,
took
"You're
2 years.
right. Give us a couple more teams. We got eight better slots now. We can hopefully slot the team. Yeah, sure. We'll extend it for you guys. Yeah."
It took 2 years for GMAC to make the tournament at Siena. Only time will tell if that happens here at Syracuse. I think, if it doesn't happen in year one, the fans would, I don't even know what the fans would do. I think if it takes 2 years, they'd settle down a little bit more. But I think questions are going to arise quickly if it doesn't happen. I hope that's not the case. I think it's if Kyan can progress and play a little more defense, I think GMAC's gonna be pretty straight up with him. Hey, if you can't hang on the floor guarding these guys, you're not gonna play. And I think that'll be good. Obviously, Kyan has a lot of untapped potential offensively. Sadiq, I think, is gonna be expected big things of from the Syracuse fans. Him and Francis Folafat kind of holding down that 3 and 4 position. It'll be interesting to see how those guys do. Folafak played very, very well,
In that
guarding
big
Cam
game, yeah,
Reuser.
he was tremendous.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's a guy that played well against a top team in the country. Can he do that regularly? Who knows? It'll be interesting. Obviously, the GMAC culture will be very different from the Adrian Autry culture. You have all these new assistants and director of player engagement and director of blah, 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 and GMs and director of basketball operations. You mentioned the game against St. John's at MSG. That will be exciting.
Against
Very
Donnie.
exciting. Donnie, maybe he'll. I think Patino will be the best thing to happen to Donnie Freeman. I know we touched on that earlier, but I just want to say that again. Excited for that game against Providence and Brian Hodgson. I think that guy's a clown. I will
Oh,
say that
dude.
first.
They
Brian
just loaded it
Hodgson,
up, the schedule.
why did we ever want that guy?
Why do we ever want that guy?
I think he's a clown, but I'll
Oh,
say
okay.
that. I'll say it twice.
I got to watch him play. Angry man sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Obviously, basketball season ways away. Football season is 3 months away. Fran Brown had a couple comments the other day about, Steve's running like 19 miles an hour, I think. Which is just like, okay, like, thanks, Fran.
Thanks, Fran.
I
What do I
appreciate
do
it.
with this information, Fran?
Lamar Odom, former number one overall recruit, might be fighting for the third string job. I appreciate that information. Obviously, it sucks Calvin Russell's injured, and I think that will, at least that just kind of kills my mood for football talk. Yeah, big news for you. Syracuse plays Wake Forest in Toronto to open up the 2027 season. Just another great game to add to that schedule.
So random, man. Well, I don't know. Like, look, the NFL is playing in like
Don't complain.
eight
You
countries. Like, what are we doing?
guys get at Penn State and at
Oh,
Toronto.
yes, the road and Stanford, and yes, the road schedule in 2027 is
So
crazy.
I don't want to hear it.
Oh, no complaints.
Obviously, big thing on tap, Syracuse men's lacrosse playing. Big game, third time against North Carolina. Last time Syracuse went to the quarterfinals 3 years in a row, the final year was 2017. They lost to Towson. That was I did the archive, so I kind of just had that stat
Wow,
logged
look at you
in.
on top of it. You're just a ball of knowledge today.
So 2:30 game time, McClure Green Modeling countdown to face off at 2. Again, double overtime with myself up until 6:30. That will be a fun one. Make sure to tune in, call in, do whatever. Should be a great show. Hopefully not recapping the end of Syracuse's season. That will do it for Griffin and Josh. We will have plenty more coverage, hopefully, of the Syracuse men's lacrosse team next week. We'll probably talk with Tim Leonard. Maybe we'll talk to Rick Beardsley in the coming days if they win this game. I guess not the coming days, but next week. If they win this game, we'll see Syracuse going for the second straight championship weekend. That will be fun. Make sure to tune in to previous episodes of the Ostrom Avenue podcast, wherever you get your podcast, or as always, waer.org. Until next time, Griffin and Josh saying so long.